Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the 16th chapter of St. John, reading the 13th and 14th verses. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This Sunday, the fifth Sunday of the Easter season, is just about halfway between Easter Day and the Feast of Pentecost. And the words of Jesus in the Gospel for this Sunday direct our attention toward Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't often remember the titles of sermons I've heard, but I do in fact remember the title of a sermon I heard more years ago than I care to remember. And the title of that sermon was "The Unappreciated Person of the Holy Trinity." Not a very upbeat title for a sermon, but one that points to the fact that many Christians are rather like the Christian St. Paul found when he first arrived in the city of Ephesus, who, when asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed?" replied, "No, we have never heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Well, as believing Christians, you and I have, of course, heard of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, as we just said in the Creed. And yet there is a hidden and elusive quality about the Holy Spirit, which makes it hard for us to conceive or speak about him. The very word Spirit literally means wind or breath. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, who came to see him by night, "The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In a sense, the Holy Spirit can be compared to the air we breathe. For like the air, the Spirit is the source of life. And yet, just as we cannot see the air, just so the Holy Spirit, in a way, remains invisible. And the reason for this is that the Holy Spirit does not reveal to us his own face, but the face of Jesus. As Jesus says in today's gospel, "When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, for he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and declare it to you." And so the Holy Spirit shows us not himself, but the face of Christ. And herein lies the reason for the hiddenness, the elusiveness of the Holy Spirit. He points not to himself, but to Jesus, the incarnate, crucified, and risen Lord. And it is forgetfulness of this truth that lies at the root of so much of the tragedy of the church's history, a tragedy that continues unabated in our own day, when so much that is novel and indeed just plain weird is claimed to be the evident working of the Holy Spirit, when in reality it is nothing more than a manifestation of the spirit of the age, the so-called Zeitgeist, meaning the ideas that are popular, the opinions that are, so to speak, in the air. How many tragedies in the life of the church, how many tragedies in the lives of individuals are the direct result of this fatal confusion between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of the age, the Zeitgeist. And what I want to say this morning is that we need not be victims of this fatal confusion if we only listen carefully to what Jesus himself says. For when faced with some claim that some novel teaching or practice is the evident working of the Holy Spirit, we can submit that claim to the test of Jesus' words. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and shall show it to you. Our Lord spoke these words to the 12 apostles on the night before he suffered. And it is in the teaching of the apostles that these words of Jesus found their fulfillment. In the apostles' teaching, of which the New Testament scriptures are the written deposit. For in that apostolic teaching, the Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's and shows it to us. And there is something more. The Holy Spirit does not say one thing in one age and contradictory things in another. There is instead an inner consistency, a most wonderful unity in his witness, always to show us Christ and his word. This is the Holy Spirit's work, to show us Christ, to bring Christ to us, and us to Christ. And hasn't the Holy Spirit, in fact, done just that for each one of us? He has shown us the radiant face of the Savior, who is the express image of the Father's love. And so if you know in your heart that the Lord Jesus is your Savior, that is the Holy Spirit's work in your heart. Because St. Paul says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And if you know in your heart that you are a child of God, that too is the Holy Spirit's work in you, as St. Paul writes. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Yes, this is the Holy Spirit's work in your heart and in mine, just as Jesus says. The Holy Spirit shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and show it to you. And so in this divine service this morning, the Holy Spirit takes the altar of this church and shows us Calvary. He takes the bread and shows us the body of Christ. so that prompted by the Spirit, we may offer to Jesus, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, that most profoundly Christian prayer. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Grant us thy peace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.